on the bloodline of Jesus, and somewhere around 6 months ago we started this, and then we haven't had church, so something that feels like it's been forever. It's given me a long time to put this one together, so hopefully it goes okay. I typically like to, when I teach a lesson, I like to have my lesson completed pretty close near the time I'm going to teach it. The longer it sits, the harder it is for me to teach it for whatever reason. And so I was going over it again today, and hopefully I can get it out the right way. And so we're just, it's the bloodline of Jesus, and this is part three, or lesson three. If you want me to take a text, we'll just go ahead and just go from the very first verse that I'm going to use. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 would be our text for tonight. It's, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And so we're going to talk about this bloodline of Jesus. And the story of Adam is really central to our understanding transgressions. It is central to our understanding of sin, okay, understanding the mess that our world is in. You have to go all the way back to Adam to get the great understanding of this. But the story of Adam is also central to our understanding of God's mercy. You can't talk about Adam and his sin without also talking about God and his mercy. And so I really, when I teach a home Bible study, I love to teach this story about Adam. I really enjoy this particular story. So tonight, as we look at the bloodline of Jesus, we're going to look at this first person in his bloodline, okay? The Bible says that Adam was born as son of God, okay? Now, we know this from Luke, okay? Adam was born as a son of God. He did not have a parental father. He did not have an earthly father. God created Adam from the earth, so God was Adam's father. Okay, he was the first in the line of the bloodline, and the Bible says that Adam was a son of God. Now, I hope tonight to help us as we go into this to understand what that means, and what hopefully as we get into that. But I want us to really look at what Adam will teach us about the bloodline of Jesus. So we're going to talk about what Adam will teach us. So most everyone knows the story of Adam and Eve, right? Okay. So I'm not gonna belabor the Adam and Eve story. We know it, we understand it, and really, to be honest, this story is a story that the evolutionists cannot get. They cannot grasp the story of Adam and Eve. Okay, they have such a trouble with that. They want to say that either that man was made from some sort of amoeba, right? That somehow climbed out of a swamp, grew legs, then grew arms, then somehow straightened up, and then somehow more than one grew, and then somehow those two growing somehow reproduced and created this being, okay, that somehow they morphed, they began to reproduce, and somehow they began to, each reproduction created a new species who continued to morph into new creatures, and then some, though, had to stay as they were, and some morphed into new creatures, And all the while, they're growing into these something new. Right? I mean, that's the way that, if you really look at the theory of evolution, that's how it has to happen. That somehow this amoeba has to come out of the ground, and at the same time, another amoeba has to come out of the ground, and then them two somehow have to reproduce, and then as they produce, they create something new that's not an amoeba anymore, but yet there has to be some that stay and some that change. Now, we know from last week when we got into the genetics and got into the heredity that there is created in every species a genetic code that says if you are a human being, you cannot reproduce anything but a human being, right? How many remember that a couple weeks ago? If I'm a human, I'm not going to create a pig, okay? I already said that. I gave that story already. I'm not getting into that again. Sometimes you wonder what you've actually created. I'm sure Abraham, your mom's shaking her head. Never mind. She's not sure what actually was created there. Oh, no. I actually put that on there so when your dad listens to it. Hello, Brother Lou. So, I mean, to really get to the bottom of this, it is really a rather complicated process. And to be honest, I believe it takes more faith to believe in the science of evolution than it does believe in creation. It takes a whole lot more faith to believe in a science of all of these crazy things all happening than to believe that there is a creator who stood there and called out everything and designed the world to be the way it is. Yeah. It's right. The law in heredity, every species has a law, has a code that says a human won't reproduce anything other than a human, a monkey won't produce anything other than a monkey, a dog won't produce anything other than a dog, a chicken won't produce anything other than a chicken, because God created it that way. What about the other law? There's another law, the Big Bang Theory, right? That there was this great explosion, which all of a sudden formed and made this wonderful earth that we have. That some great explosion was. It takes more to believe that an explosion created something than a God could make it. I mean, I have never seen an explosion create anything. I've seen a lot of destruction from it. But I have seen craftsmen make some very beautiful things. I've seen craftsmen put together some things that are just absolutely phenomenal. I've seen designs. I used to do architecture. I used to study architecture. And I've seen how they've taken them, how someone can create something and make something. And just the... put in such intricacies. All it takes is one look at a flower, a plant, an animal, a human, even a rock structure, to understand that there was a God who had a plan and created the greatest masterpiece ever made. And all we do today is copy its beauty. All we do today, I mean, we go out and we repaint it, we redraw it, we reproduce it. All we're doing is making copies of the master plan that was created by the creator of the universe. So it takes more faith. So which takes more faith? In the beginning, God, or in the beginning, an amoeba? It's a group of cells that is not quite an animal, but it's an animal. It's actually less than a tadpole. It's like a larva. Yeah, it might even be less than a larva. It's like a cell in the body. And it just, I mean, the craziness is that's what they, I mean, it started there and then it grew into a tadpole and then it grew into a, you know, that tadpole grew legs. Yeah. The Big Bang. An explosion put in, never mind. My brain ain't that big. It's just easier to say, you know what, I have faith that in heaven is this great creator, this master designer of the universe, who said, I'm going to make something that is absolutely incredible, that it's going to take thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years for anyone to ever be able to figure it out. And even today, they still haven't figured out all of the beauty and all of the design that was created some thousands of years ago. They never will. There are a lot of things that we can understand from studying Adam. But this is really one of the points I want to get at, that from the beginning, God gave dominion to man over everything earthly. I want you to understand this. This is a very important point right here. God, from the very beginning, when he created man, he gave man dominion over everything earthly. Okay? Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man was given dominion over everything. Okay, if it had to do with the earth, man was given dominion. Dominion simply means to rule over. Okay, to rule over. Now, I thought this was interesting because here in Genesis also, we find a verse. This wise man Balaam makes this prophecy concerning the chosen lineage. Now, I want you to notice this, Numbers 24:17. And I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. So there is coming out of this lineage of Jacob, which the lineage of Jacob was, okay, was the chosen lineage that the bloodline of Jesus would flow through. He says, out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the